voice.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer, and this is Rogue Talk for December 11th, 2020. And we got all kinds of things to talk about today. Nothing local. COVID continues. You know, it was a little less than a year ago that I came on the air and I said I wasn't going to be doing Rogue River High School sports anymore here on the Bridge. And the following month, I was headed to the basketball state tournament, one of the basketball state tournaments for high school, and I was going to cover that on streaming video, and everything was great, and COVID hit, and everything changed, and it feels like we've been frozen in, frozen in carbonite, because we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars is one of the stories we're going to talk about today. So we've all been frozen in carbonite now it's getting close to a year now, and we're hoping that somebody comes to our rescue and is able to free us from this suspended animation that we've been living in. It's all kind of surreal and kind of ridiculous. And, it feels like there's an end in sight, but I'm not 100% optimistic. And there's actually, you know, even as we see maybe getting on the other side of COVID, there's still a lot of things to be concerned about, and we'll, some of that'll be evident in some of the stories we'll talk about. If you want to call the show, you can do that at 541-299-0498. Once again, 541-299-0498. And nothing's off limits today. Again, I've got a few stories I've picked out I want to talk about, and some of it's lighthearted, some of it are, you know, more serious stories, but it all should be a lot of fun for this hour. And so anything you want to bring to the table would be fine. We'd love for you to go and find us on Facebook. Go to search Rogue Talk on Facebook. Give us a like there. And you can also, it's not directly Rogue Talk related, but related to what I'm doing. You can go to Rogue Announcer at both Facebook and on Instagram and follow along there. We'd love to see some new faces, some new names on those lists. So let's take a look at some of the things that are going on. We'll get to the Star Wars stuff in a little bit, because there was a lot of stuff. Disney had their, I don't know what they call it. They have their big investor call, I guess it is, yesterday, and announced all kinds of stuff that they're doing. And, you know, a lot of it was Star Wars related. And then there was also Marvel and Pixar. I mean, they got all kinds of things going on. Of course, along with that announcement, they also announced that they're raising the rates on the Disney Plus streaming service. But again, we'll talk about some of the Star Wars stuff related to what they announced, because that's what I'm kind of into. Really into The Mandalorian right now, and I'm enjoying that, and we'll talk about why that is and what else they've got coming. So one of the interesting things happening in the national news is, all of a sudden, now that the election's over, or almost over, I mean, it's essentially it's over, regardless of what you think on one side or the other about, you know, all of the alleged cheating and improprieties and whatever. There's a lot of stuff there. The mainstream media doesn't necessarily give you the straight take on all of that. There is a lot of impropriety has gone on. So this idea that there's like to use terms like no widespread voter fraud and whatever. Well, actually, there is, because if you use widespread, does that mean, to me, that means maybe all over the country? Well, yes, there's been voter fraud cases in several states all over the country. Some of them are very tiny. Some of them are a little bigger. So the idea that it's not widespread is wrong. Now, if they're trying to imply by saying no widespread, if they're using the term widespread to say, well, it's not enough to change the election, well, that is probably true, because it's probably wouldn't change enough votes, even if they can find, you know, all of the cases, these littler cases especially. It may not be enough to change it, although I even push back on that a little bit, because we look to the courts for a lot of this stuff, because there's been some cases in the courts. And a lot of times the talking heads, and the talking heads on both sides, in fact, I get more upset with some of the ones I listen to, and I listen to them because I generally agree with them. But a lot of them, you know, they point to a certain case and they say, well, that wouldn't change the election in that state. So it's not, you know, so that's why the court isn't hearing it, or that's, you know, that's why it's not important. But what they seem to fail to understand is, if there's enough in a certain state, then those added up could be something significant. So to just dismiss it on a case-by-case basis is a little short-sighted. And I mean, I'm getting this from some of the, you know, most respected, you know, people, at least in the opinion side of journalism, that are very intelligent people, much, much more educated than I am, much, you know, in some cases I would consider much smarter than I am. Some of you would say, well, that wouldn't be too hard, but but you may underestimate me. It's one of these cases where you ever know one of those people that was just so smart, but they just had zero common sense? That's how I see some of these people, is that they're so intellectually into a certain issue that they don't see the forest for the trees. And so it's a little frustrating for kind of the average person, you know, on the sidelines, that's kind of watching this stuff. But again, do I think that there's enough out there to change the results of the election? No, I doubt it. I really don't. I mean, if the lawyers that are working on this Dominion case, that the Dominion voting systems were hacked and whatever, I mean, if they actually had the evidence to prove that, then yeah, this thing could change, I mean, drastically, because if there was really, you know, logarithms within the software that were miscounting the votes, yeah, that would make a huge difference, because a lot of states use the Dominion systems, but nobody's produced any evidence inside or outside of a court to this point, and it seems pretty unlikely they're going to have the proof. Now, does that mean it didn't or couldn't happen? No, it doesn't. But until we see some evidence, you know, that's the only thing that could really change things. And a couple of you may be saying, well, what about the lawsuit that Texas and some several other states have signed on to this lawsuit? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a constitutional expert. Although, again, if you lead your arguments with your academic pedigree, I've already won. I know more about the Constitution than a lot of people that throw their academic pedigree in my face. So I don't care about that so much. But I'm not an expert. I'm not a constitutional expert. But from people I trust and people that study these things and that are constitutional experts, the case that Texas is pursuing in the Supreme Court is pretty thin, and I don't mean they don't have some good points and they don't have an overall case to make. The problem is as we've seen, these courts, especially the Supreme Court, they don't want anything to do with this election. They do not want to touch this election. They don't want to be seen as meddling. And so from that perspective, these cases just don't have enough. Again, if some blockbuster piece of evidence comes out and they discover, you know, the actual software with the actual cheating where it was giving 1.25 votes per vote to Biden and 3/4 of a vote per vote to Trump, okay, then we would have something. But until that time, the courts aren't going to touch this. So having said that, the way that the election was really stolen from the president, and I don't mean that hyperbolically. I mean, there's been polls to show this, was the Hunter Biden story. Now, just before the election, the Hunter Biden story was spiked by most of the mainstream media. The New York Post broke a story about a laptop that was said to have been Hunter Biden's laptop. It had a lot of bad information. Subsequently, a business partner of the Bidens came out and backed up the story, backed up what was being said about what was on the laptop. And again, the mainstream media and the social media platforms, especially Facebook and Twitter, were suppressing the story, spiking the story. Well, poll was done since the election. People that had not heard of the Biden story, so they asked people if they had heard about the Biden China connection, the Biden laptop, and the various things going on with that. If they had known that before the election, would they have changed their vote? And it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% said yes, they would. Well, as we know, the election was very, very close. And in the states that were contested, that were tight, 15% would be like a landslide difference. So the media's suppression of anti-Biden stories absolutely costed Trump the election. Now, does that mean, you know, we should, I don't know, overturn the tables and go crazy and whatever? No, we've known this for some time. The media has not been an honest entity for a very long time, and we've known this. There are many companies that are, you know, trying to get into that space and maybe take over some of it, but that's a long, long process. I mean, you have the networks that have been around for years and years and years that are still trusted by a lot of people. Not sure why trust is earned and they don't earn it on a routine basis, but nonetheless, a lot of people get their news just primarily from that source. Social media is not a trustworthy place to get your news. So, but the interesting thing about it is now all of these mainstream media outfits, they're covering the Hunter Biden story. It's like, oh, that's convenient. Yeah. Oh, we see it now. We see it now that the election's over and we seemingly pushed our guy across the finish line. And, so it's all rather convenient. Not surprising, though. Again, we've known this for some time, and until we start doing something about it, you have to turn off your TV. Don't put on the network news. Don't put on CNN. Don't watch, you know, any of these mainstream. None of them. I don't know if I said this a couple of weeks back. I may have mentioned this, but I have an advantage, and me and people that get their news from various sources the way that I do, we have a bit of an advantage because you can't escape the mainstream media. It's everywhere. You know, CNN, all of CNN's viewers are in airports, but But there's lots of them there. You know, you're forced to watch CNN if you go into an airport, which would explain maybe why their ratings are low lately, because, well, nobody's traveling because of COVID, so nobody's watching CNN. But you're forced. You can't avoid the networks. I mean, most people either watch TV shows on the networks, or it's convenient to get your news from the network. So you can't avoid the liberal slanted news. But what I found is a lot of people don't look for other sources to see if they're getting the whole story. And people like me, we do seek out those other sources. We still hear what the mainstream, so-called mainstream media is reporting, because, again, you can't avoid it. But we're also seeking out alternatives. And so we're getting a more well-rounded view of things. And I'm saying this because I may have told this story already, but I had some conversations with some folks, and they were all repeating the same talking points because they were only getting their news from certain sources. And so it's just kind of interesting that now, you know, all of a sudden the Hunter Biden story is interesting to everybody. Now that the election is over. And of course, you know, kind of along the lines of media covering things that they maybe wouldn't have covered, you know, a month or so ago, before the election. I guess that'd be a little over a month ago. Axios broke a story this week about a Chinese spy who had been hanging out with various people. And one of those people was Representative Eric Swalwell. He's a Democrat out of California. And I got a little sound clip here. You may remember him. He was really into the whole Trump-Russia collusion story, which has turned out to be a complete non-story after years of investigation and all of that. So let's hear what he had to say, about 3 years ago.
And just so we know, again, there is the public information that we've discussed. You assert that it points to collusion. We
this
were
is
questioning
on CNN.
If in fact it does. Have you seen things on the classified side that you cannot tell us about, though, that is even stronger evidence than what is out there publicly?
Yes.
Okay, so there are things that you cannot tell us that you think are more, you know, perhaps more convincing than the public information.
There's a pattern here, John, on the classified and unclassified side of deep personal, political, and financial ties that Donald Trump and people in his family, in his businesses, and on his campaign had with a foreign adversary in Russia that converged at the same time that Russia was interfering with our campaign. Now, the classified side, that's the role of the House investigation to develop. That's the role of the FBI to develop. And the strength of that evidence, hopefully, will come forward, you know, in the coming months or maybe perhaps even longer. But this is a complicated set of financial transactions, electronic messages, foreign witnesses. It's going to take time, not as fast as I'd like, but the American people deserve to hold any U.S. person accountable that was working with Russia.
So that's quite a fairy tale he was telling there, because none of that was true. There was no information. There was no financial ties. There was nothing for them to put together, because it didn't happen. Him and another California rep, of course, Adam Schiff, they sound like twin brothers, because they were telling these tales that were completely untrue. They rode this thing for 3 years, really all the way up until the next election. And as it turns out, as has become customary with, I hate to say, but with Democrat politicians, if they're accusing somebody on the other side of something, we ought to send the DOJ their way to investigate them, because usually they're involved in something that they're accusing other people of. And lo and behold, the Axios story comes out. And Swalwell is connected to a Chinese spy, Christine Fang or Fang Fang. She's got a few names. None of them probably are her name because, well, she's a spy. And he was briefed in 2015 about the possible connection that she was possibly a spy, and he broke ties with her at that point. Which brings up a couple of things. First of all, he knew while he was peddling the Russia collusion story, which, by the way, he knew was false. He also knew that he had been wrapped up in more ways than one by this Russian spy previously. But it also raises another question. Why was the DOJ warning Eric Swalwell that this person might be a spy and that, you know, he was tied into her? But they didn't extend the same thing to the Trump campaign when the whole spying on the Trump campaign started. If what they said that the spying, the reason that that all started was true, they should have gone to President, or well, at that point, candidate Trump, and they should have given him the same sort of briefing where they said, hey, there's some people around you that we think are, you know, problematic. And they, first of all, they didn't do that. Second of all, the reason they didn't do that is because they knew that it was all fake. And so it's interesting that this comes out again after the election. We find out about this Chinese spy who was sleeping with various politicians, according to the FBI. We don't know if Swalwell was one of those, but we know he did have a relationship of some sort with her. But I find it interesting that these stories just magically are on the radar now that the election is over and they think that they got their guy across. So kind of interesting stuff happening in the news related to politics. But we'll take a quick break and come back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. With SRN News, I'm John Scott. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has pressed Food and Drug Administration Chief Stephen Hahn to grant an emergency use authorization for Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine by the end of today or face possible dismissal. The vaccine won an endorsement on Thursday from an FDA panel of outside advisors, and agency sign-off is the next step needed to get the shots to the public. Governor Andrew Cuomo reinstated indoor dining restrictions indefinitely in New York City. California's health officials urging the state's residents to stay home as much as possible because of a coronavirus surge taxing the state's hospitals. Stocks ending lower on Wall Street as prospects for another aid package from Washington faded. The Dow gained 47 points today, but the NASDAQ was down 28. The S&P 500 off 4. This is SRN News.
Broadcasting to Rome River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. That break was a little shorter than I was expecting. We didn't get our sports report today, but that's okay. We'll get back to some of the things here we wanted to talk about. And so, of course, you can't avoid in the news, again, as I mentioned a little bit, the COVID-19, and we know now that a vaccine is on the way, maybe more than one, but one that unexplicably is, we're still waiting for the complete approval. And the media, I gotta say, does a lousy job of reporting this. Of course, they've done a lousy job reporting COVID and it as it is, whether it's local news or national news. They don't they don't really want you to know the important information, or even which information is important. They just give you these numbers and they show you these graphs, and most of it's very meaningless. But they put themselves into kind of a funny quandary right now because they're so desperate for this vaccine to get going and get to the people, because, you know, they've been peddling how dangerous and terrible that COVID is, and I'm not editorializing, I'm just describing the way that they're covering it, that they have to push for the vaccine, or they look, not that they care because they do it all the time, but they look completely hypocritical if they don't in some ways celebrate this vaccine coming, and I'm hoping some of the other manufacturers get their studies done so they can get in line for approval. But the FDA is a disaster, and the media, again, the way they covered it, because they have this committee of doctors and scientists and whatever that got together, and they meet, and then they give their recommendation, and I guess they voted, and there was, I think, only 4 people that voted against emergency approval. The rest of them voted for it, but that doesn't mean it's approved. That's just a recommendation to the bigwigs at the FDA, I guess. I'm not sure why that this panel of doctors and experts aren't the ones that make this call, but no, we got to give it back to the bureaucrats at the FDA, and presumably they'll approve it today or maybe tomorrow, and that way they can have vaccines out early next week. I'm not going to take it, at least not right away. I'm not worried about COVID so much. I've been an essential worker essentially from day one, and I do what I need to protect myself, and I'm not that worried about it. But I'm more worried about, you know, potential side effects that, you know, maybe you don't see in the studies. Not that the studies aren't big, but they're not big enough. And the example I would give is, look at technology. As some of you know, I'm a big fan of Apple products, not so much the company, but the products. And often they'll put out a new version of their operating system, and let's say it's for iPhone, so it would be OS, which stands for operating system, which is sort of a easy way to name your operating system. It seems a little strange, but Apple's supposed to be the creative company, and their mobile operating system is called OS. All right, great. So they put out a new version of OS, and they think it's wonderful, and they've put out versions of it for their people to test, and a lot of people sign up to get those beta versions and to test them, and it's... then when it comes out, within a day, there's always some sort of update to fix things that really screwed up people's iPhones. And so a company like that, they work really hard to make this stuff great, and there's still problems. And that's how I feel about it, something like this vaccine. We've never made a vaccine for a coronavirus. The common cold and every version of the common cold are coronaviruses. We do not have a single vaccination for a single coronavirus until now. So I'm a little bit hesitant to just pump that stuff into my body. Again, if I was more at risk, if I was overweight, that's another one of my little bugaboos about this virus. The media hardly mentions that obesity is probably one of the worst pre-existing conditions that put you at risk for COVID, and they don't talk about it much. They've mentioned it here and there, but if you watch, every time they show a case where they want to sensationalize and make you, you know, scared, and they show these cases, oh, this guy was only 37 and he died of COVID, or this couple was in their 50s and they died on the same day of COVID. Time and time and time again, they all are very obese And oftentimes they have diabetes. And they're not talking about this at all. They keep talking about, well, it affects the elderly more and it and this and that and the other. But I really think they're doing a disservice by not warning people that if you are obese, if you are considered obese, or even just if you don't like that word, if you're just very overweight or if you have diabetes, you need to be careful because this is killing younger people. But it's usually ones that are overweight. Again, kind of a sidetrack, but they're really screwing that up. And I have to say, a lot of the stuff they've screwed up with COVID, it's all politically related. So this gets back to the whole vaccine and the fact that they're trying to sell the vaccine, but they're also trying really hard not to give President Trump any credit for it. And so they're in kind of a catch-22. They want to promote the vaccine because they've been pushing, you know, that how dangerous the virus is and that you need to stay home and you need to wear your mask and you need to social distance and you need to listen to the experts, even though the experts were wrong in the beginning and then they've been wrong again and again and we're still supposed to listen to them. But they've put themselves in this box and they're trying really hard not to give the president any credit, yet they want to promote a vaccine that, you know, he made a lot of steps in making happen. I mean, again, this is it, whether or not you're going to take it and whether or not you trust it, it is very historic. As I said, we don't have any vaccines for any coronaviruses, and we've discovered many of them, and we don't have a vaccine for any of them. So it is historic that they've done this if it turns out that it works. And, you know, again, you have to make your own decisions on that and your own, you know, you got to decide what's best for you. So let's see. Let's hit one more thing before we take another break, and then we'll come back with some of the Star Wars stuff that I was teasing there at the beginning, because that's what makes me tick. In fact, hopefully I get home. I have to go out tonight and throw my mask on and finish getting ready for Christmas. But I hope I get home in time tonight to catch the latest episode of The Mandalorian. Really looking forward to that. But another story that was in the news, and I don't have a ton of the details on this. But there's a bill being proposed by Tulsi Gabbard. And if you don't remember who Tulsi Gabbard is, she's a Democrat and she ran for president. And she's actually, well, other than being fairly attractive, which is kind of immaterial, but nonetheless, she didn't really get too far. The Democrats don't like her because she's not nowhere near left-wing enough. They don't want anybody that isn't either already a left-winger or somebody like Joe Biden that they can just push around and get what they want. So Tulsi Gabbard wasn't going to go anywhere in the Democrat primaries. But she managed to take out Kamala Harris, which, you know, ultimately didn't matter to Kamala. She took her out. She didn't even stay in for the first primary. And it was on this exchange, or at least this question that was asked at one of the debates to Tulsi Gabbard. So let's take a quick listen to this.
Congresswoman Gabbard, you took issue with Senator Harris confronting Vice President Biden at the last debate. You called it a, quote, false accusation that Joe Biden is a racist. What's your response?
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California, and she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
So that was a question that Tulsi Gabbard answered at one of the Democratic debates, and that was pretty much it for Kamala. Now, again, she's found the back door into the presidency. Well, if you can get elected with the geriatric, almost octogenarian presidential candidate, then you'll be the president probably within the next year or two. And so she's going to slip in the back door, but her presidential campaign was derailed at that moment because her response to this, and I'm not going to play it, I don't waste your time with it, but it was pretty weak. And I find it interesting that both the potential president-elect and his running mate both run from the strongest parts of their record, the criminal justice parts of their record, which is, to from my perspective, is their best qualities, and they both run away from them. I mean, they both want, they've distanced themselves, Biden from the crime bill and Kamala from her work as a prosecutor. It's interesting that their best qualities is what they run from, but I guess that's today's Democratic Party. So anyhow, Tulsi Gabbard, getting back to the subject at hand here, Tulsi Gabbard introduced a bill that would strengthen Title IX. And if you don't know what Title IX is, that's what directs federal funding to be equally distributed, or you, let me put it this way, to keep your federal funding, you have to fund your women's sports at the same level you do your men's sports, or boys and girls. And that's what essentially what Title IX is about, or at least a big part of what Title IX is about. And this whole controversy about transgender athletes and whatever, this bill would not allow men who think they are women, transgender women, to compete in women's sports. And for those of us that understand biology, for those of us that saw the way that a woman's skull was fractured by a male MMA athlete because he was a transgender female, this is not controversial to us, but it is to a lot of the mainstream media. I just happened to take a few screenshots as I was quickly reading this story. Now, I found the story on the Daily Wire, and the headline was, Democrat Tulsi Gabbard introduces bill that would ban biological males from women's sports. Pretty straightforward, explains exactly what's happening. But listen to these other headlines. Yahoo Finance, which I'm not sure why there's a political angle to Yahoo Finance, Tulsi Gabbard introduces anti-transgender bill. Teen Vogue, well, okay, we expect this from Teen Vogue because they've really gone way, way political. Tulsi Gabbard targets trans athletes as she sets to leave Congress. And then The Hill, Tulsi Gabbard sponsors anti-transgender bill. Newsweek, Tulsi Gabbard pushes bill to block transgender girls. Okay, never mind the social aspect of this. And I think I've mentioned this before. If I have a friend that is a transgender man, and if this former female wants me to refer to her as a male, if she wanted to change he/she, it doesn't matter which direction it is. Again, this friend I have was a female. She's now a transgender male. If she wants me to call her he, I'm happy to do that. I don't know. I haven't spoken directly to this person. I'm not close enough to them that we interact on a regular basis. But as a friend and as someone that I respect and that I have in my life one way or another, I respect their wishes. But having said that, that doesn't erase the biology of the opposite situation. Now, again, she's a transgender man. She is now a he. Confusing, but okay. But going the other direction, you're taking biological males who have unmistakable advantages in athletic prowess, in muscle mass, in all kinds of things. That doesn't mean person to person. That means in the aggregate. We know this because professional sports are dominated by men because they dominate in physical prowess. Again, that doesn't mean person to person. There are, well, every single female gymnast can do things that I could never have done and can definitely not do today. But that's not my point. The point is that you take someone that is a biological male and you let them compete against females, it's not equal. It's not fair. It may seem equal in your social justice, you know, warrior cause, but in the actual physical process of playing whatever sport it is, it's not equal. It's not fair. And this bill is hoping to stop that, to strengthen Title IX so that, because otherwise women's sports will just be erased. They won't exist. If there's no difference between men and women, then there's no need for women's sports because nobody's paying to watch women's sports. And if you don't believe me, look at the difference in the ratings for the WNBA and even the NBA, which is ratings have tanked because of their selling out to social justice causes. That's neither here nor there. They still, it's not even comparable. So there will be no women's sports if we don't recognize the biological differences. And so I salute Tulsi Gabbard. She's got a few views I definitely don't agree with, but I give her credit for that one. And I hope that bill has a future. Not so sure it will, but hopefully it does. So we'll take another break and come back with more after this.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump has lost a Wisconsin lawsuit seeking to disqualify more than 221,000 ballots and overturn his loss to Democrat Joe Biden in the battleground state. Reserve Judge Stephen Simanek on Friday ruled against every argument Mr. Trump made challenging ballots in Wisconsin's two largest counties, saying the election was properly administered and there was no wrongdoing. Mr. Trump quickly appealed, and a ruling in a separate federal lawsuit could come as soon as today. Mr. Trump has called for quick rulings so he can file appeals before the Electoral College meets on Monday and casts Wisconsin's 10 votes for Biden.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimer, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I'm going to try and do something that doesn't usually happen when I do this kind of a show. I've got a lot of notes in front of me, or actually just kind of an outline of the different things I wanted to talk about. I'm going to try and hit every single one this time because I'm pretty close, so we're going to see if I can do it. Usually, I'll have 10 or 15 things written down, and I don't even get to half of them, but we might make it today. So another thing that's not really in the news today, but it's become something I've been more aware of lately, is the run on firearms and ammunition. I recently became a gun owner for the first time. Some of you may be scratching your head going, how do you live in Rogue River and you weren't a gun owner? Well, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in the suburbs of California, and I'm not anti-gun. I'm very pro Second Amendment. I've shot guns in the past, but I was never introduced to hunting, and I, you know, only shot here and there. And I recently decided to pull the trigger on a gun purchase, and I'm enjoying to getting to know the ins and outs of handling and safety, and so it's starting to develop as a little bit of a hobby. But when you do that, well, first of all, when I purchased this, I started to realize that the selection is not what it was just even a year ago. It's hit and miss. Certain models are very popular and hard to get because gun purchases are going through the roof. Well, with that, you also have ammunition purchases going through the roof. And not to spend too much time on this story, but a box of ammunition that you could have bought, let's say a 50-round box of target ammunition, 9mm target ammunition, one of the most common in all the world, really. You could get a 50-round box of target ammunition, certain brands you could get for less than $8 for a 50-round box. One of those that would sell that cheaply, I recently bought at the price of $15.99 a box, so $16 a box, so basically double what you could have gotten it before. I'm seeing it online now. Well, people that have it in stock for $35 a box, and I'm seeing other similar types of ammunition, other brands that maybe are slightly more expensive, but, you know, generally not that much more expensive, $50 a box, a dollar a round for ammunition. So people take the Second Amendment seriously, and they're scared. After the way the summer went and then the way the election went, people are worried, and it's definitely showing. So Time Magazine named Biden and Harris both their person of the year, which I didn't know Time Magazine was actually still in business. So, you know, it's interesting. But in the spirit of Time Magazine naming dual persons of the year to, again, as they've done in the past, to a couple of people that haven't really done that much at this point, we'll jump into the story I wanted to get to, which I'm not leaving myself a ton of time for, but that's okay. And of course, that would be Disney announcing all kinds of new stuff for the Star Wars universe. And some of you may recognize that music. That is the theme music for The Mandalorian, which just released another episode today. I will be definitely watching that later. But along with The Mandalorian, they've announced a bunch of new shows. And let's quickly go through some of them. And I say this as I'm excited. I grew up with Star Wars. I was 8 years old when the first movie came out, and I went, and my grandma took us to the movies, and I loved it, and my siblings loved it. My grandmother hated it. so I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but I'm worried that maybe they're getting out over their skis a little bit. They have 10 new TV shows plus some movies in the works, and I just hope that they do them all well, because the last three movies of the main trilogy, not that great. I mean, I watch them. It's Star Wars, but they're not that great, let's be honest. I do like some of the other recent movies. I really like Rogue One. I actually like Solo, even though the critics hated it. But they have a new series, Ahsoka, which is about Ahsoka Tano, who was she was a Padawan of eventual Darth Vader. And so she's a Jedi. They're going to do a new series based on her. She's a big fan favorite of all the Star Wars nerds. And I say that lovingly. I don't mean that as a disparaging thing, but she's in a lot of the animated stuff that they've done. There is a new series, the Kenobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi series, that's been rumored for a long time. Hayden Christensen is going to return as Darth Vader in that series. And Ewan McGregor will return as Obi-Wan Kenobi. So that should be fun if they do it right. They're going to do a Rogue One prequel. Now, I hope this is as good, because I really enjoy Rogue One. It's actually one of my favorite Star Wars movies at this point. They're going to look into the life leading up to Rogue One of one of the main characters, Diego Luna, played Cassian Andor, and they're going to look at his character leading up to the movie Rogue One. So if you've seen that, you know what I mean by that. Again, sounds really good. I just hope they're not spreading themselves too thin. They have a female-centric series. I believe this is a series, or is this going to be a movie? This one I'm not even sure of, but it's The Acolyte is a mystery thriller that will take viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. So I'm still not quite sure. They're going to do a series around Lando Calrissian. I like Donald Glover just fine. I'm not really sure I want to watch a series. I'm not sure Siri's listening to me. I'm not sure I want a Lando Calrissian series, but I'll probably give it a shot, and maybe it'll be good, and I'll watch it. Rangers of the New Republic is another series, so another TV series. So presumably all of these will be on Disney Plus. The Bad Batch, this looks like an animated series. And it's going to go back to the fall of the Republic and the rise of the Galactic Empire. Another series called Visions. This is more along the lines of the connection between Star Wars and Japanese anime, which only the hardcore geeks really would understand. Again, I'm not demeaning them. That's just the facts. Rogue Squadron is this going to be a movie? I'm not sure if this one's a movie or a series. I think it's a movie. The director is a movie director, so I'm going to guess that one's a movie. They're going to do a Pixar Star Wars, a droid story. So it's going to be, well, here, I'll read their tweet on this. Lucasfilm Animation is teaming up with Lucasfilm's visual effects team, easy for me to say, Industrial Light and Magic, to develop a special Star Wars adventure film for Disney Plus, a droid story. The epic journey will introduce us to a new hero guided by R2-D2 and C-3PO. So that should be interesting. And then they didn't give us a lot of information on this, except for some reason they felt that director and filmmaker Taika Waititi has something in development. They don't really tell us what it is. I guess they just wanted us to know that he's one of the directors on The Mandalorian. I don't know how many episodes he's done, but I've liked virtually every episode. So, if he can continue to keep the Star Wars in Star Wars, again, some of the stuff I haven't necessarily liked, haven't necessarily agreed with. And so what I was getting at was when I mentioned that Time Magazine picked their persons of the year, I'm going to pick dual men of the year for me. And because of COVID and because streaming has become so popular, my men of the year will be Jon Favreau, the creator of The Mandalorian, and Dave Filoni, one of the main directors of The Mandalorian, because they put the Star Wars back in Star Wars, and I love it. So that's all we got. Everybody be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.